الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're discussing the narrations, the author he mentioned, of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, of Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari al-Badri رضي الله عنه, and of Rafi' ibn Khadij رضي الله عنه, with regards to a number of prohibited earnings, and the clarification that these earnings here specifically are filthy and lowly, and a number of them are forbidden and permissible, and others are considered disliked or considered to be lowly and discouraged. And the narration of Abu Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he mentions أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن ثمن الكلب, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he forbade the price of the dog, ومهري البغي, and likewise the dowry of the prostitute, meaning the money that she earns for prostitution, وحلوان الكاهن, وحلوان الكاهن, and likewise the حلوان of the fortune teller, meaning the earnings that he makes for fortune telling. For fortune telling, we have seen a number of benefits with regards to this affair and these individuals here in our previous class. In our previous class, as for the narration of Rafi ibn Khadij رضي الله عنه, he mentions أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ثمن الكلب خبيث, that the price of the dog is خبيث, is filthy, it's filthy. ومهر البغي خبيث, and the dowry of the prostitute, any of the earnings that she makes for prostitution, خبيث, is filthy, filthy earnings. وكسب الحجامي خبيث, and the earnings of the one who gives the hijama, who does the cupping, is likewise خبيث, is likewise خبيث. We have seen a number of issues related to this likewise. This is clarifying the prohibition for selling or trading in these affairs, for buying and trading in these affairs, and likewise then the earnings from that are filthy. The earnings from that are filthy and forbidden, except in the case of the one who does the cupping, the one who gives the hijama, then it's khabith, but it's lesser in severity, and it's not forbidden, but it's considered a type of earning that is lowly, and it is discouraged. And it is discouraged, although it is considered permissible and lawful. So we have seen the details with a number of these issues in our previous class, Alhamdulillah. But that which remains to discuss in more detail is the issue of the dog, thamanu al-kalb, the price of the dog, and selling the dog, and what is related to that, selling the dog, and likewise owning the dog. And these affairs that have been clarified in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the complete encompassing legislation of Allah azza wa jal, from the complete encompassing legislation of Allah azza wa jal. So al-kilabu nu'ani, the dogs, there are two types, kilabun yahrumu iqtina'uha wa kilabun yajuzu iqtina'uha. There are dogs that are forbidden to own, and there are dogs that is lawful to own. So here, what we're discussing now is an issue called al-iqtina, or al-qunya. Al-qunya or al-iqtina is when of a person, he will own something. He will own something and it will be his, and it's his personal property and possession, and it's not for sale. He will own a car, he will own a house, he will own garments and the likes like this. These are things that he purchases for his own self and his personal usage, from that which he owns, from wealth and property and finances. It's called al-qunya. Al-qunya. The verb is iqtana. Yaqtani iqtina'an. Iqtina'an. So to own a dog is forbidden in general. Owning a dog is forbidden in general. And there is great warnings and threats with regards to that. But there's an exception to certain aspects. So we go back to where we began. Al-kilabu nu'ani. Al-kilabu nu'ani. The dogs are two types. Kilabun yahrumu iqtina'uha wa kilabun yajuzu iqtina'uha. There are dogs that's forbidden to own them.
There are dogs that's forbidden to own them, and there are dogs that it's lawful and permissible to own them. So from here we discuss this affair of the price of the dog and the ruling of owning dogs and the ruling of selling dogs. These are two different affairs. There's an issue of owning a dog and there's an issue of selling a dog. The issue of selling a dog. So it has come in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Zubayr, Muhammad ibn Tadrus al-Makki. He's from the great students of the Sahaba. He's from the great scholars of the Tabi'een, but in particularly from the students of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. So Al-Imam Muslim, he mentioned his chain to Abu Zubayr rahimahullah. Qala sa'altu Jabiran. He said, I asked Jabir, and thamana sinnawr wal kalb. He said, I asked Jabir about the price of the sinnawr. The sinnawr, yani al-hir, the cat. The word is sinnawr, it means al-qit, yani the cat. Sa'altu Jabiran, and thamana sinnawr wa al-kalb. I asked Jabir about the price of the cat and the dog. About the price of the cat and the dog. فَقَالَ زَجَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ زَجَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ And he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he forbade that. He forbade that. الزَجَرُ وَالنَّهْيُ بِشِدَّةُ بِقُوَّةُ يعني زَجَرَ يعني he forbade that. He strongly forbade that. صلى الله عليه وسلم. He strongly forbade that. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So here we see that it's clear in this narration that this is something that is forbidden. The price of the cat and the price of the dog. The price of the cat and the price of the dog. As for the cat, we discussed this issue first. It has been collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, and likewise in Nisa'i and Ibn Majah, Imam Ahmad, and in the books of the Sunnah from the Hadith of Kabsha. From the Hadith of Kabsha, bint Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhuma, wa kanat tahta Ibn Abi Qatada, wa kanat tahta Ibn Abi Qatada. It's the narration of Kabsha. And she is the daughter of Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhuma, and she was married to Ibn Abi Qatada, radiallahu anhuma. So she says, Anna Abu Qatada tadakhala, fasakabtu lahu wadu'an. And one day, Abu Qatada, the father of her husband, he entered upon her, and so she poured out some water for wudu, for him to make the ablution. فَجَاءَتْ حِرَّةٌ فَشَرِبَتْ فَجَاءَتْ حِرَّةٌ فَشَرِبَتْ مِنْهُ At this time a cat came. At this time a cat came. And Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu is coming in the home to make wudu in preparation for salah, to make the ablution. To make the ablution. So she prepares the water for him in a vessel. She presents the vessel to him radiallahu anhu, and a cat comes. And a cat comes. فَأَسْغَى لَهَا الْإِنَا حَتَّى شَرِبَتْ And then Abu Qatada, he lowered the vessel down for the cat so that it can drink. So that it can drink from the same vessel that he's making wudu from. From the same vessel that he's making wudu from. قَالَتْ كَبْشَ So at this time, Kabsha, he says, فَرَآنِي أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ So he saw me looking at him. And he's looking at him now like, what is he doing? He's making wudu he's going to make wudu out of this vessel, and he's letting the cat drink out of the vessel at the same time. فَقَالَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَتَعْجَبِينَ يَا ابْنَ أَخِي أَتَعْجَبِينَ يَا ابْنَ أَخِي He said, are you amazed at this, oh daughter of my brother? Are you amazed at this, oh daughter of my brother? And he's like noticing her looking at him. So he says, you find this to be something amazing, that I'm letting the cat drink from the vessel that I'm going to make ablution from? And she says, فَقُلْتُ نَعَمْ She said, I said, yes. فَقَالَ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِنَجَسٍ إِنَّمَا هِيَ مِنَ الطَّوَافِينَ عَلَيْكُمُ الطَّوَافَاتِ So at this time he says, indeed, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it's not impure. The cat is not najis. The cat is not najis, and the cat itself, and likewise its saliva, because it's drinking with its tongue from the vessel. So the cat is not from the things that are considered najis. It's not from the affairs that are impure. Rather, it's tahir. It's pure. It's pure. It's clean. It's not filthy. إِنَّمَا هِيَ مِنَ الطَّوَافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالطَّوَافَاتِ It's only considered from those animals that come around you and live by side you. And live by your side. Any animals that come around with you and associate with you, and you see them on a daily basis. They come and they go as they please, and they live amongst you and alongside with you. This is the description that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned. This is the description that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned. So likewise, barakallahu fikum, al-hirr nu'ani, the people of Allah, as they mentioned, that the cat is two types as well. That the cat is considered two types as well. The first type, hirrun in si, alif. It is a domesticated cat. Yi'ishu ma'anas, it lives with the people. A tamed and a domesticated type of cat, a house cat, and the likes like this that lives amongst the people. Like the cats that come to mind whenever we mention the word cat. But there are other cats, likewise, they're called al-hirr al-wahshi. It's a wild cat. It's a wild cat. They live away from the people. They don't live friendly with the people, whether they're wild cats. So these are two different types of cats. The one that's being referred to in the narration here of Kabsha radiallahu anha is the insi. Is the one that's tamed. It's a domesticated cat that lives along with the people. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to. As for the wild cats, then they're not friendly. They're not friendly and they don't live close to people. Rather, they live by themselves and they run away from the people and the likes like this. Or maybe even sometimes they will harm the people if someone gets too close to them, so on and so forth. So the one that's being referred to here that's considered not to be najis, it's not to be impure, it's from those animals that live alongside you and the likes like this. This is the domesticated cat, the one that lives along with the people. The one that lives along with the people. So with regards to owning a cat, then the people of knowledge have agreed that it's lawful. With regards to owning a cat, then the people of knowledge, they have agreed that it's lawful. And this is because it's something that is beneficial, and it is not harmful, and it is considered lawful. It's considered lawful. You need the cat, many times it will rid the house of rodents. It will rid the house of insects and the likes like this. So to clean the house from these troublesome animals that come around. So there's a benefit from that. And likewise, some people, they find it comfortable to have a cat around in the likes like this. So all of this is a benefit that is lawful, a benefit that is lawful. So owning a cat is lawful. There's no difference of opinion with regards to that. As for selling the cat, we see the difference between the two issues. There's an issue of owning a cat and an issue of selling a cat. There's an issue of owning a dog and an issue of selling a dog. So these are two separate issues. Not everybody who owns something had to buy it. So we have to pay attention to these issues here. So owning a cat, اتفق العلماء على جوازه. The people of knowledge, they agreed that it's allowed to own the cat. As for selling the cat, then the majority of the scholars, likewise, they find it to be lawful and permissible. They find it to be lawful and permissible, whether it's an agreement of the four madhahib. An agreement of the four madhahib, that selling the cat is lawful. Some of them mention that it's lawful but it's disliked, and others they mention that it's lawful and it's not disliked. Rather, it's lawful, bila karaha. That it's lawful, bila karaha. It's permissible. And it's been mentioned by al-Tahawi from the scholars of the Hanafi madhab. He died in the year 321. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, لَا أَعْلَمُ اِخْتِلَافٍ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْإِلْمِ فِي ثَمَنِ السِّنُّوَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِحَرَامٍ وَلَكِنَّهُ دَنِي. He says, I do not know a difference of opinion from the people of knowledge about the price of a cat. That it's not haram, it's not forbidden, but it's considered lowly. It's considered lowly, meaning it's a type of earnings that are not praiseworthy. It's a type of earnings that are not praiseworthy. Similar to what was mentioned about the earnings of the Hajjam. The earnings of the Hajjam. The Hajjam is the one who does the cupping. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned kasbul hajjami khabith. That the earnings of the cupper is filthy. It's filthy. But we see what is intended by that. Meaning that it's lowly. And it's not a noble or honorable means of earning a living. It's not a noble or honorable means of earning a living, but it's not forbidden. So again, the majority of the people of knowledge, they find it permissible to buy and to sell the cat. Some of them mention that it's disliked, but lawful. Others, they mention that it's lawful, and it's not even disliked. Although in the later generations, some of the people of Nadas have mentioned that it's forbidden, and they mentioned that based upon what is apparent from this narration here. From this narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zajara and thaman as-sinnawr. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zajara and thaman as-sinnawr. That the Prophet, he reprimanded, he forbade the price of the cant. The price of the cant. But the jumhur, the majority of the scholars, they mentioned that what is referred to here is the cant that's not beneficial. The cant that is not beneficial, or the cant that is the wild cat and the one that is not tamed. As for the house cat and the domesticated cat, then this is not intended and this is not forbidden, because it's something that is from the good things that are pure and from the things that are lawful to benefit from. And it has a lawful benefit, like cleaning the house and ridding the rodents and the lice like this. So the majority of the scholars, they agree with the narration of Jabir that we're discussing here, that the Prophet, he forbade the price of the cant, but the cant that they mention here is the cant that's not beneficial, the one that's not tamed or domesticated, or the one that is a wild cat. As for the domesticated cat, then this one has a lawful benefit, as they have mentioned, يعني أنه يطرد الفئران أنه يطرد الفئران والحوام ويستأنس به. So therefore, it's lawful. Also, they responded with regards to this narration as well, in the light of that which has preceded, that what is intended from the price of the cant is that it's lowly. As for the price of the dog, then this is something that's forbidden, because there's other narrations verifying and clarifying that. So they mentioned that the price of the cat is similar like the price of the one who does cupping, meaning it's something that's lowly, but it's not forbidden. And this is one of those affairs of al-ijtihad, and Allah knows best. So that's with regards to the cat. As for the dog, then there are great warnings and threats about keeping a dog and owning a dog unlawfully and rightfully. Owning a dog or keeping a dog unlawfully and unrightfully, there are great threats. Whether there are severe threats with regards to this, and the narrations have come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warning severely those who keep dogs without having a legitimate reason, any legislative and lawful reason and permission from the legislation. And from that is what is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من اقتنى كلبا إلا كلب صيد أو ماشية أو زر انتقص من أجره كل يوم قيراط. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that whoever keeps a dog except for a hunting dog, or a dog for herding livestock, or a farming dog, he will lose one qirat from his reward every day. He will lose one qirat from his reward of good deeds every day. It will diminish and be taken away. Qirat, Allah knows best. This is an amount that Allah knows, referring to a large amount of righteous good deeds that will be taken away, and that will be diminished. That will be diminished and taken away because of violating this right. And another wording in Sahih Muslim, he said, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من اقتنى كلبا فإنه ينقص من عمله كل يوم قراط إلا كلب حرث أو ماشية. That whoever owns a dog, a qirat of his good deeds will be deducted every day, except for a dog used for farming or livestock. So the origin here is that owning a dog and keeping a dog is not lawful. And it becomes even more severe whenever it's related to imitating the disbelievers and the likes like this, how they have great love for dogs, and they kiss their dogs and the likes like this, or they dress their dogs, so on and so forth, and they have great love for dogs. This reminds me now, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ وَالْخَبِيثَاتُ لِلْخَبِيثِينَ. that the filthy are for the filthy. The filthy men are for the filthy women, and the filthy women are for the filthy men. And that which is filthy is for the filthy. And meaning, no doubt, they're filthy, so that's why they love the filthy. They love the filthy. وَلِيَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ So in any case, it's not lawful for a believer to have a dog without a legislative reason. Without a legislative reason. And this is something, there's a great threat with regards to. There's a great threat with regards to. Rather, there's another narration also collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. Radiallahu anhuma, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ اَكْتَنَا كَلْبًا إِلَّا كَلْبَ مَاشِيَةً أَوْ صَيْدٍ أَوْ زَرْءٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْقُصُ مِنْ أَجْرِهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ قِرَاطًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever keeps a dog, except for a dog for herding livestock, hunting, or farming, will lose 2 qirat. In this narration, he will lose 2 qirat of their reward every day. They will lose 2 qirat of their reward every day. Meaning that in this narration is mentioned that it's multiplied. The threat is multiplied. That not one large amount of righteous good deeds will be taken and decreased from his account daily, but rather 2. But rather 2. So all of this is a clarification of the severity of this affair. That just by owning a dog, unlawfully, that a person and his good deeds, they will diminish daily. Rather, in this narration here, a double diminishment will occur from his deeds daily, subtracted from his account. Any meaning that he will have righteous and good deeds that he done sincerely for the sake of Allah, deeds that he done according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those deeds will be wiped out and diminished. And those deeds will be wiped out and diminished because of keeping a dog unlawfully. Because of keeping a dog unlawfully. Likewise, on top of that as well, the angels, they do not enter the homes where there are dogs. The angels do not enter the homes where there are dogs. And if the angels do not enter, then likewise the mercy does not come along with them and the blessing that they come with by the permission of Allah. Rather, the devils, they come in their place with evil and shar and trouble and problems and trials and tribulations. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ And also it's collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Talha radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا تَدْخُلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَيْتًا فِيهِ كَلْبٌ أَوْ سُورًا That the angels do not enter a house where there is a dog or an image. A dog or an image. Any image of a living being. An image of a living being. Whether it's a picture that is hung or whether it is a statue and the likes like this, all of this is considered a surah. If it's of a living being, then the angels, they will not enter the home. So this is a clarification again, that this is something that a believer, he must avoid and stay away from. The issue of owning and keeping dogs is not something light. The issue of owning and keeping dogs is not something light. In these narrations here, the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and likewise the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, is the clarification of the prohibition of this affair and the severe warning against keeping dogs, along with the exception in certain cases. يعني من اكتنى كلبا إلا كلب سيد, except for whoever owns a dog, whoever keeps a dog, except for the dog for hunting. أو ماشية. Mashia, any for cattle, for herding cattle and livestock. Awzar, or zar, any farming and agriculture and the likes like this. And taqasa min ajrihi kulla yawmin qirat. Then his reward would diminish every day. Qirat. In the other wording by Ibn Umar, qiratan, 2. 2 qirat. So there are some exceptions here to the ruling of keeping dogs. And that is permissible. And the Islamic law in certain cases, whenever a person has a legitimate need, and the first of that is hunting dogs that are used for hunting, and he will hunt with them, meaning that these dogs are considered mu'allama, they're trained dogs. Hunting dogs, they're trained dogs. Kalbu Sayyid, kalbun mu'allam. Kalbun mu'allam, it's a trained dog. وَيَسَّلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ الطَّيِّبَاتُ وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهُ فَقُولُوا مِمَّا أَمْسَكْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ وَاذْكُرْ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So Allah has made lawful the game hunted by the dogs that are trained. The dogs that are trained. A dog, if it's trained to hunt and it hunts for its master, then that which is slaughtered, that which it kills, that which it hunts and kills is lawful. That which it hunts and kills is unlawful. But there are conditions. There are conditions. The first condition is that the dog, it must be trained. And likewise, that the trainer, when he sends the dog, he must mention the name of Allah. And likewise, that the dog, he will hunt for its master, not for its own hunger or desire. Not for its own hunger or desire. And the means to identify the trained dog is that, إِذْ أَرْسَلْتَهُ إِسْتَرْسَلْ. If you let him go, he will go. وَإِذْ أَوْقَفْتَهُ وَقَفَ. And if you tell him to stop, he will stop. If you let him go, he will go. And if you tell him to stop, he will stop. And whenever he hunts and he captures the animal, he does not eat from the animal. He does not eat from the animal. So if he eats from the animal, it's an indication that he was hunting out of his desire, not for his master. Not for his master. But the animal that hunts and hunts for his owner, then he will catch the animal, kill it, and leave it there and wait for the owner to come. So if that's the case, he mentions the name of Allah, he sends his dog, the dog goes, the dog hunts and captures the animal. If he arrives and the animal is dead, the food is lawful. The food is lawful. And this is an indication of the lofty status of knowledge. Even the dog that has knowledge benefits. Even the dog that has knowledge benefits and his game is lawful. As for if a dog were to hunt that's not trained and does not have knowledge, then his game is not lawful. Then his game is not lawful. Even to the extent that if a person is hunting and whenever he finds his game, he finds his trained dog along with another dog there, and he does not know which one killed it, it's not allowed to eat from the flesh because it's not certain that his dog is the one who hunted the game. It's not certain that his dog is the one who hunted the game. So therefore, it's lawful to own a dog if it's a hunting dog. And the hunting dog is a trained dog. Likewise, for herding, any herding the livestock. This is kelbu mashia. Kelbu mashia is the herding dog. This is the one that goes out into the fields, protecting the animals and herding them and the likes like that. And going out in the fields, grazing with the cattle in the fields, this one is called kelbu mashia. Kelbu mashia. This is the herding dog for guarding sheep and livestock and the likes like this. And then there's kelbu zara. Kelbu zara. This is the farming dog, the one that protects the crops and the likes like this. It's on the farm and it protects and runs away the predators that come to the crops in the daytime and the nighttime. So these dogs here, from their service, is they're protecting the property of the owner. The dog that goes out with the cattle and the livestock is protecting the cattle and the livestock from the wolves and herding them and keeping them out of danger and the likes like this. And this is an amazing affair, likewise, to ponder and reflect on. Some of these dogs, they're trained and they know how to herd the animals. If one animal starts to go astray, he'll run and bring it back to the pack and the likes like this. And he'll keep them and direct them in a manner that's amazing how they're trained. And even some of these dogs that are for cattle, it's ingrained in them after generations of teaching and living with animals and doing this service, that this is how they live. They naturally, any from their disposition, herd the animals and live along the animals and benefit the owner in this manner. And likewise, the farming dogs, they're protecting the crops. They're protecting their crops from different predators, so on and so forth. So from here, a number of the people of knowledge have added another permissible exception, and that is a guard dog. Kalb al-Hirasa. Kalb al-Hirasa. Some of the people of knowledge, they suffice with that which is mentioned in these narrations. And others, they have mentioned, no, rather, because these dogs here, in reality, they're guard dogs, guarding the livestock and guarding the farm. Guarding the crops and the likes like this. And this is one of their main services. So likewise, if a person, he was in need, there is an immediate danger for his property. He's afraid of thieves or other types of harm on his property. It's something that's apparent. And taking a guard dog would benefit him. Then it's lawful and Allah knows best. And a number of people of knowledge have mentioned that. And this is comparing the benefit and the usage of these dogs here that are mentioned in these texts. So in any case, there is severe warning and loss of great reward on a daily basis
on a daily basis for those who take dogs unlawfully and those who keep dogs unlawfully. Some people here in America, maybe they accepted Islam and they grew up loving dogs, for example. They called him what? A dog lover. A dog lover. We say, well, you have that dog. He says, he's a dog lover. He's a dog lover. But you have to love for the sake of Allah. When you enter into Islam, you bear witness and testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so to come and to love Allah and to love for the sake of Allah and to check one's love with the reins of the legislation and that which is pleasing to Allah. So whatever a person used to love and like before, then he will leave that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if he has no need to have a dog, that is not allowed for him to have a dog. And this is something that he will leave off for the sake of Allah. As for if he has one of these legitimate reasons and needs, one of these legitimate reasons and needs to have a dog, then it's lawful. Then it's lawful. But even still, there's the issue of the najasa of the mouth, so on and so forth, that a person has to be cautious from. So in any case, there's a great threat with regards to this, and also the angels do not enter the home. And also the angels do not enter the home of those who have dogs, any meaning unlawfully. Unlawfully. From the exceptions of that is that there are those who have legitimate needs from hunting and from farming and from herding, and also in addition to that, guarding. So a Muslim, he's strongly advised to avoid keeping dogs unnecessarily. That one, he must hold fast to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to avoid falling into the prohibitions and that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So everything that has proceeded up until now with regards to the dog was about owning dogs. So now we discuss the price of the dog. What's the ruling on selling the dog? So if it's not allowed to own the dog in the first place, then it's not allowed to sell it. If it's not allowed to own the dog in the first place, then it's not allowed to sell it. So this goes back to the issue that we're discussing. The dog is two types. The dog that's unlawful to have and the dog that's lawful to have. So the dog that is unlawful to have, the scholars, they agree. The dog that's not lawful to own, the scholars, they agree, it's not lawful to sell. And this is from the general understanding of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, thamanu al-kalbi khabif. That the price of the dog is filthy. وَنَّهَا النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ ثَمَنِ الْكَلْبِ. And the Prophet, he forbade the price of the dog. So this is a general and absolute ruling. There's nothing to specify that. So the one that's not allowed to own, then this one is clearly forbidden. Because a person, if he were to sell it, if he were to sell a dog that's not lawful to own, then he's going to be, in reality, cooperating upon sin and transgression. The one who sells a dog that's not lawful to own, he's helping a person own that which is not lawful. And he's cooperating along with him to obtain and have in his possession that which is not lawful. And he is cooperating with him and helping him to lose out on his reward too, great amounts from his righteous deeds daily. He has a share and a hand in that. So therefore, it's not allowed. If it's not allowed for him to own it, then it's not allowed to sell it to him and help him own it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَىٰ الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَىٰ وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَىٰ الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. That you must cooperate together, help one another upon piety and righteousness, and do not cooperate or help one another upon sin and transgression. So from sin and transgression is to own a dog that's not lawful. So to help somebody own a dog that's not lawful is also sin and transgression. It's helping him to do that. So therefore, selling the dog also from this aspect is not lawful. As well as collected by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he says, نَهَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ ثَمَنِ الْكَلْبِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade the price of the dog. وَقَالَ فَإِنْ جَاءَ يَطْلُبُ ثَمَنَ الْكَلْبِ فَامْلَأْ كَفَّهُ تُرَابًا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that if somebody comes to you asking for the price of the dog, then you fill his hand up with dirt. Dirt, it has no value. If somebody gives you some dirt, you cannot buy anything with it. It's worthless. It has no value. لَا قِيمَةَ لَهُ. So if somebody comes to you asking for the price of that dog, the cost of the dog, then what are you ordered to do? Give him dirt. Fill his hand up with dirt. Meaning that there's no value in the dog. And the price of the dog is not legitimate. It's worthless. It has no value, no price. It's worthless. It has no value or no price. So therefore, it's clear that it's haram and forbidden
it's clear that it's haram and forbidden. As for the dog that's lawful to own, then the scholars are different. The dog that's lawful to own, then the scholars are different whether it's lawful to sell it or not. And the majority of the scholars, they are of the opinion that it's not lawful to sell it. It's not lawful to sell it. Even the one that's a hunting dog and is trained, or the one that is a guard dog, or the one that is a herding dog, or the one that is a farming dog, and the likes like this, all of these dogs that it's lawful to have them in that legitimate case and circumstance, the majority of the people of knowledge, they find that it's not lawful still to sell, because the prohibition is general. Their prohibition is general, although there are some scholars who mention that it's lawful, and this is an issue of al-ijtihad, and Allah knows best. So a believer, he will avoid these affairs. He will avoid these affairs and stay away from them out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Owning and keeping dogs, this is something that is not from the ways of the believers. From the benefits of these narrations here, number one, bayanu shu'mi iqtina al-kalb ghayri al-ma'zun. The clarification of the evils that come about from owning dogs that are not lawful. The evils that come about from owning dogs that are not lawful. وَأَنَّ مَنْ فَعَلَهُ فَقَدْ جَنَى عَلَى نَفْسِهِ قَدْ جَنَى عَلَى نَفْسِهِ يعني جِنَايَ عَظِيمًا. The one who owns a dog, he's committing a great crime against his own soul. The one who owns a dog unlawfully, that's not permissible for him. He's only working great crime against his own soul. حَيْثُ يَذْهَبُ عَلَيْهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ قِرَاطَانِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ الصَّالِحِ. Because daily, every single day, two great, large amounts. Only Allah knows the exact quantity from his righteous and good deeds. They're lost and they diminish daily. They're lost and they diminish daily. The second benefit, جواز اقتناء الكلب لحفظ الماشية والزرع والصيد. The permissibility of keeping a dog for protecting the cattle, the livestock, and likewise the farm, and the crops, as well as for hunting. Number three, الحق الحكم في إباحة كلب الحراسة للبيوت والممتلكات. The third benefit is that a number of the people of knowledge, they have included the ruling, have included this ruling in the permissibility of owning a dog for guarding, and owning a dog for guarding the homes and the property, Number four, التحذير مما يحبط الأعمال الصالحة وينقص أجرها. There's a great warning here. Likewise, number four, a great warning to take precaution from those things that would invalidate the righteous deeds. And decrease their reward. So a person, he will strive hard to work righteous deeds. But if he's not careful, those righteous deeds can be invalidated, or the reward of those righteous deeds can diminish. So just as one, he will strive to perform the righteous deeds, one, he also must strive to preserve them and to not lose them to his desires and whims. And number five, كمال الشريعة في بيان كل ما يحتاجه الناس في معاشهم ومآدهم. The completeness of the Islamic legislation and how it has clarified everything that the people are in need of in their worldly life and earning a livelihood, and likewise in their hereafter. And every aspect of life has a ruling clarified in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number six, أن فيه ترجيح المصلحة الراجحة على المفسدة لوقوع استثناء ما ينتفع به مما حرم انتخاذه. That here we see that in certain circumstances, the best interests will take precedence over something that is harmful or dangerous or something that is problematic, because here there's an exception. There's an exception from the dog. Initially, the dog is filthy. The dog is filthy, and the price of the dog is filthy, and this is well known, especially the saliva and the likes like this. But whenever there is a benefit that is greater in these circumstances and situations, then the legislation deems it to be lawful and declares it permissible to own in these cases. So this is from the completion of the legislation likewise, that there are initially general rulings and prohibitions of harmful
or loaded things, but in certain circumstances, whenever the benefit is greater, they will become lawful. Like the exception here with regards to the dog, that's the hunting dog, and the dog for farming and for livestock and herding, so on and so forth. So initially it's not allowed, whether there's a great threat with regards to owning them in the first place. But in these cases, it's permissible. In these cases, it is permissible. Here in these narrations here, in the commentary of Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a great benefit about A'la al-Makasib. A'la al-Makasib, yani the highest and best forms of earning a living. We discussed this, or we touched on it in some previous classes. Inshallah, in our class tomorrow, we'll read this brief paragraph, a brief paragraph that he mentioned about the best forms and means of earning a living before we move on to the next chapter. After this, the chapter he mentioned, Babul al-Araya. Babul al-Araya wa ghayri dhalika. The chapter with regards to al-Araya and other than that. And other than that. The Araya is a transaction that's an exception likewise. That's initially forbidden from the transaction of Muzabana that had preceded in our previous classes. The transaction known as al-Muzabana. There is an aspect of that that is lawful in the case of need. It's called al-araya. So now after this, we discuss this issue along with a number of other issues that he mentioned in this chapter, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So we can take any questions or comments or corrections while we're waiting for the iqamah. And in some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned, for example, it's lawful to raise puppies. It's lawful to raise puppies with the intention to train them. With the intention to train them. Allah knows best. Allah knows best. And in some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that is lawful. That is lawful. And to raise puppies. Since it's allowed to have the trained dog, then it's allowed to raise puppies and train them. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that likewise, and others they do not agree with that. Rather, they find the absolute, they find the prohibition to be absolute. Allah knows best. Well, yeah. Yeah. If anything wet from him gets on you, then yes, you do. You have to wash it 7 times. 1 time with dirt. No. If the donkey licks you, or if he puts his nose on you where there's wet, where it's wet, or if the dog himself is wet and he wipes you, then the najasa, it will come on you. The najasa, it will come on you. Initially, the dog's body is not najis, and Allah knows best. But because the dog is known for licking itself, and the place of najasa is his tongue, and likewise the other things that come from his body, like his saliva, and also that which comes from his nose and his feces and his urine, waliyadu billah, all of these things are considered najis. Considered najis. If they get on you, you have to wash it off 3 times. 1 time with dirt. There's been recent studies about this, and they found that there's worms and the likes like this, and there are things, impurities in the mouth and the saliva of the dog. And whenever they wash it with just water or with soap, it doesn't completely go away. But whenever they wash it with dirt, dirt has properties that specific to this filth that's in his mouth, and it removes it all entirely. It removes it all entirely. You research it and look, inshallah, you'll benefit.
Yeah. I have read the hadith about the dog that licks out of a dish. Mm-hmm. But in that same hadith, is it mentioned the clothing? Because I haven't seen that.
No, there's no mention of the clothing.
I mean, well, when you refer to washing it with dirt, that's what I'm saying as far as I've read that.
It's just, what's the reason, the ruling was because you licked in it. So what's the difference of licking in a bowl and licking on your hand? This is the point here, the people of knowledge, they mention. الشيء يلحق بنذيره. And if it ahkam, that which is similar takes the same ruling. It takes the same ruling. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.